Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you all for being here today. It is an honor and a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping with all of you here today. And thank you all for joining us online right now. I go by Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And it's the first Sunday of the month. And every single first Sunday, we have a 2 p.m. service. And we have a special person bringing in a special message from the heart of God. Amen. We give an opportunity for all of us individuals here to share something, a special message from the Lord. And I want you to open your minds and your hearts to receive that which comes from the throne room of God. Amen. The person who is sharing today has a passion and a love for the Lord. She serves the Lord with all of her heart. And I can't wait to hear what the Holy Spirit has for us this afternoon. Amen? Amen. Please give a very warm welcome to Sister Dorothy Brown. Amen. Woman of God. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Good afternoon. My message today is entitled, God Desires Our Company. God Desires Our Company. Very simple, yet profound. And this message is based on my studies of the Tabernacle of Moses in the book of Exodus. But before we start, I'd like to just add a little humor, if you will. About 5 years ago, before my mom went home to be with the Lord, I had the privilege of leading her in weekly Bible studies. And on one such occasion, I was feeling very spiritual, very anointed, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this is wonderful. She's really enjoying this. When she turned to me and said, you make everything so complicated. Well, I can assure you, I'm laughing now, but I wasn't laughing back then. My feelings were hurt, my ego was deflated. However, she was absolutely correct. I was making things way, way, way too complicated. So I ask you to please join me in prayer as we ask the Lord to help me to keep it simple. Okay, join me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say we love you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Father, just speak through me. Get all the glory, Father, and bless your people. And help me to keep it simple. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I am not, well, I was going to say, our mothers have a way of keeping us humble, don't they? I'm not a realtor or an expert in real estate. However, anyone who's ever purchased or sold a home knows that the number one rule in real estate is location, right? Hence the catchphrase, location, location, location. Well, this phrase, repeated for emphasis, means that the value of a home, or identical homes, I should say, can either increase or decrease in value for no other reason than location. Well, have you ever considered that when it comes to our faith, that location is also key? Well, if you haven't, we're going to consider it today. When it comes to our faith, location is also key. Well, as I said, I am not an expert in real estate. However, God is. He's an expert in spiritual real estate. And today we're going to borrow from his expertise as we study the Tabernacle of Moses, a building, that he constructed over 3,500 years ago in the wilderness. So what's so special about this tabernacle, you ask? Well, I can give you three compelling reasons that we should study this study now. One, that God himself gives it such prominence in scripture. Well, that's just a fancy way of saying that he gave it a lot of attention. Did you know that over 50 chapters, both in the New and Old Testament, are written about the tabernacle, as well as other references? It's the only study, if you compare it to, for example, creation, chaos, and recreation of the world, there's no other subject that's so important that's been mentioned more than the tabernacle. So we want to give it our attention since he gave it such attention. The second reason that we should study this study now is that Jesus himself tells us that he's in Moses' teachings. And that's in Luke 24:27. However, we're going to reference that scripture later. But Jesus tells us that he's in Moses' teachings. And the last reason that I think it's a good time for us to study this subject now is found in 2 Timothy 3:16. and I'll read that to you now. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So in short, God wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow up spiritually. So I'd like to give you just a little brief overview. And for the purpose of keeping things simple, we'll concentrate on three main areas: the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Location, location, location. Well, but first let me share with you how I began this journey through the Tabernacle of Moses. Well, I want to share with you that for me, this study grew out of a deep longing to know God more intimately. The scripture in Psalm 42:7, the words in Psalm 42:7 came alive in my spirit. Deep calls unto deep. And as a result, I cried out to the Lord, and he brought this study across my path. However, he forgot to warn me about the waves and the billows that Psalm 42 also speaks of, and all his waves and all his billows went over me. I literally felt as if I had jumped into a deep spiritual ocean, and the waves and the billows were going over my head. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit became my life preserver. Praise the Lord. He taught me that a secular education is much different from a spiritual one. Whereas one focuses on memorization and regurgitation, the other focuses on illumination and progressive revelation. Praise God. Two very different approaches, two very different results. So it took a little while for me to realize, that this was a spiritual setup from God. He was setting me up. Of course, we know that when God sets us up, it's never to fail, is it? He sets us up to succeed. He sets us up for advancement. He sets us up for progression. He sets us up for relationship. Because again, he desires our company. And he's still setting me up. He's setting me up today. He's setting you up too. Praise God. One thing is certain, and that's that the Holy Spirit adventure is never dull. It's never routine. Instead, it's exciting, it's stimulating, it's exhilarating, and totally fulfilling. It's an adventure, kind of like a zip line. I don't know if you've ever been on a zip line, but we've had the pleasure, I should say, to do a zip line in Alaska when we were on a cruise. And just imagine yourself soaring across the sky at the speed of 60 miles per hour with nothing between, in a harness, with nothing between you and a 3,000 foot drop than this wire and the air. Praise God. Well, that's what a Holy Spirit adventure felt like to me. And I should say that I am not an adventurous person. I don't normally do those extreme sports like bungee jumping or skydiving. That's really not for me. However, when I read about the excursion while I was on the cruise, it actually struck a childhood chord in me. You see, when I was a child, I used to dream about flying. I mean, every night I would go on an adventure and I would be dreaming about flying, and that's without a plane, mind you. And the zip line, when I read the description of the zip line, it reminded me of my childhood dreams. And my vivid imagination became alive, and I signed up for this ride. However, fear almost robbed me of this adventure. When on our way up to the drop-off point, you know, you have to take a ride for about 45 minutes up the mountain. And as we were driving up the mountain, this spirit of fear came over me. And it was crippling, I have to say. I almost didn't jump. And I did everything I knew to do spiritually. I prayed in the spirit. I led the 91st Psalm, Psalm of Protection. But nothing seemed to happen at first. But praise God, just before we were ready to jump, the Lord just wrapped himself around me like a warm blanket. His peace came over me, and it allowed me to jump. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I felt like I was soaring through the sky like an eagle. And I should say that it's difficult to describe what a magnificent trip this was for me. I can't describe to you the handiwork of God's nature, of God's handiwork, I should say, nature. I can't describe it to you from my perspective. It was breathtaking. It was exhilarating. It was exciting. And I felt, for the first time, like I was fulfilling my childhood dreams. And this time I wasn't really, even I was really flying, I should say. It wasn't a dream. But afterwards, I felt like the Lord impressed upon me that this ride does not compare to the things that he has for us when we let go and let God, when we let go and trust God. Sky is the limit, pun intended. You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Translation, you ain't seen nothing yet. Excuse my vernacular. Well, deep calls unto deep, and it's calling still. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was blessed to go on a spiritual retreat. It was just me and the Lord, me and my Father. And we camped around the golden altar of incense, which is a type of prayer, praise, and worship. And I can't tell you how precious it was, how glorious, how peaceful. You know, we fellowshiped around his word, we prayed, we worshiped. And the Lord was ministering to my heart, and he was just telling me that this is what he's looking for, heart-to-heart relationship. Amen. And in that time, he was able to minister to me about the purpose for which he created me. You know, that I was his creation, that he loved me, and that he created me for such a time as this. And so it's just so important that he showered me with his love, I should say. And it's so important that we spend that alone time with the Lord to allow him to remind us who we are in him. Yes. Hallelujah. And he does this for all of his children. He loves us. Praise God. Again, he wants that heart-to-heart relationship. He wants that heart-to-heart fellowship. Well, deep calls unto deep. God is calling us into revelation knowledge of who he is and of who we are in him. Will we come? Will I come? You know, Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, spiritual reality is calling to spiritual reality. And it's through the revelation knowledge of his word, which perfectly reflects who we are in the spirit, who we are in Christ. You know, some of you may be wondering what a tabernacle is. You may have never even heard of a tabernacle. Well, the dictionary defines it as a temporary dwelling place. Of course, when Christ came, he took up his abode in the heart of the believer. And when you're born again, if you're a believer, as we talked about this morning, then you are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reads, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you're born again, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells you, you're the temple of God. Well, you may be wondering how a rectangular building made of shittim wood overlaid with gold and draped with all kinds of coverings and curtains, how could this building possibly represent the church? How could it possibly represent you and me, the believers? Hallelujah. You may be having difficulty imagining how a God who holds eternity in the palms of his hands, how could this God live in a wooden box, also known as the Ark of the Covenant? How is God's plan of salvation revealed in types and shadows? Why would God furnish his house with a brazen altar, a brazen laver, a golden altar, hallelujah, a golden candlestick, a table of showbread, a golden altar of incense, and yes, an Ark of the Covenant? Whatever your questions, this study has the answers. You know, God hangs the key right over the door, and he tells us, relationship, relationship, relationship. Relationship in the outer court versus relationship in the holy place versus relationship in the most holy place. Location, location, location. He desires our company. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, if you're a visual person like I am, you're able to locate yourself in this tabernacle study. Jesus did. Luke 24:27 reads, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus saw himself in Moses' teachings. And why wouldn't he? Everything in the tabernacle points to Jesus, including the colors, the metals, the materials, the priestly ministries, and yes, all the furniture. I mentioned earlier that location is key in regards to our faith. Please allow me to give you a brief tour of the three main locations, if you will, in the Tabernacle of Moses and explain to you their spiritual significance. I think we have a diagram which might help you. I know a picture tells 1,000 words. Praise God. Oh, very nice. Thank you. Well, if you follow me, the area that I'm describing is actually inside of this white fence that you're looking at. So we have the outer court, which speaks of our childhood experience. We have the holy place, which speaks of our teenage experience. And we have the most holy place, which speaks of our adulthood experience. And each area represents a further experience in our Christian walk. Praise the Lord. And again, God wants us to grow up. Proverbs 4:18 tells us that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the coming, well, unto the perfect day, I should say. You can understand why the relationship between a parent, I should say, and a child is much different than the relationship between a parent and a teenager or a parent and an adult, right? I mean, we love our children, but we do want them to grow up, right? Can you imagine a 70-year-old walking around in diapers and holding a bottle? Praise God, we want them to grow up, and God wants us to grow up spiritually. Amen. More importantly, He created us for a relationship, for fellowship, because again, He enjoys our company. Amen. You know, you may be wondering how these three areas are accessed that I just mentioned. Well, each location is accessed through a door, and since there were three locations, it follows that there are three doors, right? So there's the door of the outer court, there's the first veil, and then there's the second veil. Praise the Lord. The door of the outer court leads you, as it would imply, into the outer court, which represents, again, our childhood experience. This is where we experience salvation. This is where the brazen altar is, which is a type of the cross, right? Yes. And also brazen laver would be in that room as well, in that area as well, which speaks of the type of the word of God. Secondly, the first veil, which speaks to us of our receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That particular door leads into, again, the holy place, which is the room of fellowship, the room of communion. And then finally, the second veil, which leads us into the most holy place, represents Christ's flesh, which was torn on the cross. And if you recall in the scripture, it says that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And we know that it was an act of God because it was rent from top to bottom. So the way into the holies of holies was then open to men. It is open to us. So again, the doors always represent Jesus. He says in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He also says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to salvation and sanctification in the outer court. Jesus is the only way of the communion and the fellowship in the holy place. And Jesus is the only way to the glory in the most holy place. Amen. And since Jesus and his word are one, right, they're inseparable, it follows that it's God's word that leads us and gives us access into every experience that we have with God. And that's significant. I want to repeat that. It's God's word that gives us access into every experience that we have with God. So let's continue to renew our minds by washing in God's word, the Bible, his spiritual laver. You know, the priests in Moses' day, if they didn't wash at the laver before they went into the holy place, guess what happened? Off with their heads, right? They died. Well, that's a pretty sobering reminder. Well, guess what happens when we don't wash, we as believers don't wash in God's laver? We spiritually die. We die to the faith of the gospel. So praise God. We want to wash in the laver of God's word. Also, another example that I thought of is what happens when we don't bathe? What happens when we don't wash? I promise it's not a trick question. We stink, right? Well, guess what happens when we don't wash in God's word? We spiritually stink. So let's do ourselves a favor, let's do the people around us a favor, and let's wash in God's word. Praise the Lord. You know, I love how God gives us natural examples to teach us spiritual lessons, as he did in the tabernacle. Now, I pray that you enjoyed this abbreviated tour. In looking at a modern day example of what it looks like for people to enjoy or to desire each other's company, I didn't have to look far. Immediately, the example of my dad and his brother, Uncle Freddie, came to mind. These brothers were inseparable. After retiring from the military, they became next door neighbors where they raised their godly families. They belonged to the same church. They served on the same deacon board. They taught at the same Sunday school. They sang in the same choir. They ate at the same restaurants. They even vacationed together with their families. Hallelujah. But my dad even named, I should say, my brother after his brother. My brother Fred after his brother Freddie. You know, I remember a time when after they spent all day together, they went their separate ways, went to their families. The phone rings, and Dad picks it up, and it was Uncle Freddie. And they were talking like they had never talked before. And I was like, this is amazing. They really enjoy each other's company. Praise the Lord. Well, guess what? They're in heaven now. They're both in heaven, enjoying Jesus' company like never before. And each other's, of course. Hallelujah. Well, praise God for the provision that he's made for us to fellowship together and not to only enjoy his company, but to enjoy each other's company. And I just want to close in saying that one thing that attracted me to this church was the fellowship. I love the feeling of family, and I just felt like family when I came here, and I could see that you all enjoy each other's company. So give God all the glory, and I give him all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. What a word. I hope you've been blessed. It was a powerful word. We thank God. Thank you, sister. It is time for us to give. Please give generously as the Lord has blessed you. Please stretch forth your hands as we bless this offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to bless your house once again, Lord. We pray that, Lord, may you multiply what we have sown, O Lord, into your house, Lord. May it be used for the purposes for which you have destined for such a time like this, Lord. We pray that, Father, every hand that has given and those even that were not able to give today, Lord, Father, may you bless the hands, O Lord. May you prosper the works of our hands in the name of Jesus, Lord. May everything that we touch, O Lord, be blessed, that there may be abundance, O Lord, in our houses. There may be abundance, O Lord, in our storehouses, O Lord, that we'll always have enough, O Lord, to sow into your household. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.